If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to me with some Psalms 55, and I'm going to look at verse 22. Life is hard. Life is tough. Life is difficult. When we were created as spiritual beings and we lost that, life became a burden. Life became difficult in us. As a matter of fact, he even told Adam that thorns and thistles would grow, that he would have to earn his keep by the sweat of his brow. So God always intended as a punishment for man to work and for it to be hard. It is supposed to be hard. It is supposed to be difficult in this life, and there is a burden there for us. A greater burden than that is one that's a spiritual burden that has been placed upon us. You are born with this burden. You are born with this yoke that has been placed upon your neck, okay? And nobody tells anybody this. We want to focus on specific acts of sin instead of the yoke of sin in our lives, and it's because of a nature that's been placed upon us, and that is our yoke that has been placed upon us, okay? Listen to what this says. It's, cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. It didn't say he would take it away. He says he will sustain you. So what is a burden anyway? It's something that's put upon you that you don't like. Something that's put upon you that you can't do anything about, and it becomes a headache. Like if you're a pastor and you don't really want to be at that church, then the sermons that you preach, or a teacher that you teach, or you have a class that you don't want to really do it, but you do it out of obligation. When you start doing things out of obligations, then things can become a burden. There's a lot of church work and church things that go on that are burdens for people. They don't really want to do it. It's not natural. It's not something that they just do that God takes over and gives them the gift to do that. But it's something that they're trying to accomplish in the flesh. And anything you do in the flesh that has anything to do with God is a burden. Okay. Again, when you give your life to Christ, that's a burden, because now you have to follow all these rules and all these regulations, and you have to try to make it happen devoid of the Spirit. When you give your life to Christ, you're devoid of the Spirit. Now, when Christ gives you life, part of that life is the Spirit. That's what you're sealed with. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit when you become a child of God and you're born again. And now you have a life that now is without burden, because that life takes on a new meaning, and that new meaning is to please Almighty God and become that spiritual being that you are meant to be. But when you live in a religious realm, then a lot of this is a burden. I have to go to Sunday school. I have to go to church. I have to give money to the church. I feel guilty if I don't adopt a child. I feel guilty if I don't do this. I feel guilty if I don't do that. These are burdens. And religions adds burdens to your life. And God never intended. It's no different than what the Pharisees and the Sadducees were doing to all the people. They were putting them under a law, and they weren't even keeping the law themselves, and they were putting these burdens on people that, no, you have to do this to be saved. You have to be circumcised to be saved. We'll accept this Jesus thing, but you still have to do this, and you have to do that, and you have to do this. And these are all burdens for us, and then we get arrogant. If you've got somebody out there that's a rule follower, and they like to keep rules, then they put all these burdens on themselves. It's that sacrifice that they're making for God, and in which case they forget that God sacrifices for us. We don't sacrifice for him. And so all of these things that the world is teaching us are burdens. You know, it's not a burden for me to stand up here, and people have told me, isn't that a burden for you to get up every Sunday and you work a full-time job and all the stuff that you do, and then you have to get up every Sunday? And how do you prepare a sermon? How do you do that every Sunday? And I'm like, he's prepared me my whole life for this. He has taught me daily. I've been in the Word with him for 30, 40 years here, and every day I've been in the Word of God most of the time. And he's taught me through life. He's taught me through raising my children. He's accomplished the guidelines that you have to be a pastor. He has accomplished that in my life, so that I can be ready to stand up and preach regardless. One time, Damon called me that Sunday morning. I was putting the finishing touches on my Sunday school lesson and just going off if God wanted to change anything, and spending my quiet time. I spend quiet time every Sunday morning anyway. I don't change anything because it's Sunday. I have a quiet time with God on Sunday. And he called me about 30, 40 minutes before to come to church and said, "Can you preach for me today?" He said, "I'm not feeling well." Well, sure. Not a problem. The point is, I'm not patting myself. I'm saying it wasn't a burden. Because the message is here, and I'm the messenger, and he gives me what to say, so I didn't have to come up and all of a sudden, oh, what am I going to say to these people out here? What do I need to? No, he leads me to the passage of scripture and said, this is it. It's there. The message is here already. You just have to tell what the message is. It's not a burden. You see, when we do it this way and we cast our burdens upon the Lord, not only our physical burdens, but more so the spiritual burdens is what he's talking about. You have a spiritual burden. You have all this sin in your life. You're born with it. You're born with a natural tendency to be contrary to God and to be an enemy of God. And so that is a burden in life, especially when we try to live out the life that God wants us to live in the flesh, devoid of the Spirit, then it's going to be a significant burden. Let's look at Matthew chapter 11. And we're going to back this kind of up a little bit with passage scripture. Remember, what Jeff just read is just test every spirit and make sure that it's the Spirit of God that's speaking and not some man trying to coax you into something that you don't want. You're probably not going to like truth. I mean, that's our nature, is to not like truth, and that's why we run from it. That's why we run more to religion than we do to the truth of God, because this, as we did in, said here in the spiritual food for thought, your arrows have gone deep into me. In other words, you have looked inside, you know my heart, and now you're revealing my heart to myself. You're revealing that to me, and I don't like what I see there. Matter of fact, I hate the state of my being when the scripture reveals this to me. It no longer is that mission trip satisfying to me. No longer is going to the food bank satisfying to me. No longer coming to church satisfies me. No longer coming to Sunday school energizes me. It's all because it's all out of obligation and not a natural tendency to be taught by God, because you now are that child of God that wants to grow up in the aspects of who Christ is and be obedient to him. And that's why you have to look at this and measure yourselves according to this. There should be a desire in our life, in our hearts, to be taught by God. And to come together in a church. A church is not a building. A church is a group of people that are born through the Spirit of God into one group. There's no division in that group. And we come together and we're excited to be together. We're excited to learn together. We're excited to go out now into this lost world and let our light shine before men. And then they praise God for what they see, not for what we've accomplished in the flesh. It says, "Come to me." This is in verse 28. It says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden." Okay? What are you weary about? Oh, my back's gone out. And the reason my back's out because I'm overweight. I'm unhealthy. The doctors told me that I got high blood pressure. Well, man, I thought maybe I should stop drinking six packs of Mountain Dews every day. I mean, come on, folks. We're getting exactly what we're asking for in our lives. But this isn't talking about that physical burden. It's not talking about that heavy laden. It's about when you become to revelation that you are a lost child. Okay? That you do not have that relationship with God. And then all of a sudden you see all this sin burden on your life, and God's telling you, you don't do this, and you don't do that, and you don't do this, and you don't do that. And then you have this flesh that tries to not do all of that. That's what they tell you, don't do that. It becomes exhausting. I get tired of trying to, and I've lived that life for a long time till God finally let me get so exhausted that I did do this. I came to Him and I was weary and I was heavy laden, and He finally gave me rest in the sense that it says, you can't please me in the flesh. You can't please me at all. Matter of fact, I'm not pleased with you in any form or fashion. I'm not pleased with humanity at all. Matter of fact, God at one time said, He was very disappointed. He was very regretful that He ever made man. And we don't want to talk about this, but I finally realized where my burden was at. It was not so much me trying to please God, was it the fact that I couldn't please God, and a burden that I couldn't carry on my own. A burden I couldn't do anything else about. Only He could do it. And that's why it says, Jesus says, come to me. When you realize that what you are is contrary to God instead of what you're doing contrary to God, then you realize you've got a situation you can't do anything about. And when you come to that point in your life, and religion should get you there, but unfortunately, because you fail so much in religion, but religion then keeps changing. If you notice about religion, I mean, how we now are inviting any and everybody into the church when God says you can only be born into the church. Who am I as a man to invite you into a church? I can't invite you. You can come to South Elkhorn if you want to, but you can't join it. You could join this local church, but you can't join the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to be born into that. But you have to realize that you are heavily laden with a burden that you can't do anything about. Can't do anything about it. God has put it that way so that we would rely on Him. That's why it says this is a gift from God and not something that we earn. It's basically just given to us. Then He says to take my yoke upon you. What is a yoke? You know, they use it for oxen. You know, they yoke them together. They have this wooden piece that goes around the oxen because it controls them. Okay, so that the oxen on the right doesn't go to the right and the oxen on the left doesn't go to the left. How much work could you get done? Jesus Christ had a yoke put upon Him by God. It was a restraint. It was a control by God, and Jesus willingly accepted that. He willingly submitted Himself to the Father in pure obedience to whatever the Father wanted, even to the point where He says, I didn't do anything on my own initiative. I only do what He tells me to do. I only say what He tells me to say, and I will accomplish what He wants me to accomplish. So understand that this yoke was to bring a message to the world and a warning to the world, not only to show how much God loves us and the fact that He still considered us worthy to be saved. He's also sent that message of sin is wrong. You see, it's when the church gets together, and I'll put church in parentheses because the modern day churches are not the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today, even though they tout that according to Scripture. When you judge them based on according to Scripture, you find that they're not there because they will not stand up and say, thus saith the Lord. They want to compromise with the world. They want to bring the world ideas. If you want to build a church, you do it the same way you build a business. Did you know that? You got the same people that now just deal with churches. If you want to build your church, you hire these people. They come in and they tell you how to build your church. But that's not a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a physical church. That is a fleshy church. That is a church that continues to have the burden of sin in their life, and they continue to fail. I think recently there was another pastor that caught into some sexual immorality with a 15-year-old, and that church has already had previous years, the woman minister and the male minister had a relationship together out of wedlock there, and so they already got rid of them. And what they did is they replaced now, and now you've got a minister that is sexual. Nothing changed at that church. Just because you change the pastor, just because you change your how you do things, until that heart is changed, it doesn't matter. Until you become the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and you have cast that burden upon him and you've taken his yoke and have the same purpose, that yoke gives both of those oxen the same purpose, and that's to go forward and to plow that field. Well, Jesus was given a yoke. He tells us to join this yoke for the same purpose, and as to let the world know that God loves them, but also let them know that God doesn't leave you where he finds you, and he expects you to be obedient and to fear him. And that is the message that's not being taught today. I can't love somebody. Jeff read all that scripture about love. It's not talking about loving somebody and condoning them in sin. It's loving them enough to tell them that they're going to die and go to hell when the opportunity arises in a gentle fashion. If you don't love people, that's not love, to let them go to hell and not to be in torment for life, for the rest of their life, eternity, and be thrown into the lake of fire. That is not love. We think we love people, oh, we just hug them and we comfort them, and oh, it's going to be okay. It's not going to be, I love you, and I love you enough to tell you it's not going to be okay. Unless you take this yoke upon yourself with the same purpose that he gave Christ, and that is to be a messenger to this lost world and to live a life that's worthy of your calling, and to come in here with the right attitude, the right mind, and the right desire to be taught together in a body. But when you say, no, you know, this is my time. I mean, think about it. 4 hours a week is all that you can give in corporate setting? 4 hours a week? And you expect God to do anything? I'm sorry. This says we have to take this yoke upon ourselves, and it says to learn from him. Well, if you're not here, how can you learn? And I'm talking about learning as a body. Yeah, you need to learn individually. But that individual learning is going to lead you to learning corporately. And what you're learning individually doesn't lead to ultimately the worship of Almighty God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Then you don't have the proper learning. You're learning from somebody else. You know, what you're doing is you're taking in what you want to take in. You're not listening to what God is saying and what his words say. This is about your soul. Religion gives you a fake security on your soul. This right here releases all that burden. Realizing that I can't do any of this, it's got to be through him. Learn from me, for I am gentle and I'm humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. Okay, we live in a world, and we live in churches in our world today where the souls aren't at rest. They're always fighting. They're always doing something for God. They're exhausted. And now we've reached a point where, you know, we'll cancel church for anything. We'll cancel the worship for anything. We'll work with you, God, long as you don't get in the way. We'll come in and because it just, we'll show up just enough so we get our foot into heaven, right? Now what we do, we just do enough. When God says, It's either all or nothing. It's either all or nothing, folks. It's either you're all in or you're all out. What does he say about lukewarmness? Huh? Wasn't that your message last Sunday about being lukewarm? He'd rather you be cold or hot, because if you're lukewarm, they'll spit you out of your mouth. And we're lukewarm. We're comfortable, aren't we? Never be comfortable in your relationship with God. Never. Don't be cold either. Be hot. See, this never allows me to become mundane. It never allows me to become lackadaisical. It's the only thing that matters, in the fact that then we have this desire to be used by God, not us using God. See, most people use God, and very few people are used by God. Very few people are used by God. Most of us are using God. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know why? You know why his yoke is easy? You know why his burden is light? Because he had the nature of the Father. He was born of a virgin. The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. And so Father God was his Father. So he had the nature of his Father. See, we have the nature of Adam. That's what gives us this burden. Okay? That's what gives us this demise that we're in. But see, Jesus said, I want to give you the same thing. You have to be born again to see the kingdom of heaven. It's like the wind. You don't know where it comes from, and we don't know where it goes, but we know the effects of it, and we know that it's been there, and God is the only one that directs that, not man. So many religions and so many people have been told that they are welcome, and they're welcomed into the kingdom of God, and they're just merely disciples. Instead of telling people that you only can become a disciple, it's only God that can bring that relationship in for you. See, we're lying to people. We're lying to the majority of the world, and the majority of the world accepts us, because if you can convince me to say a prayer and then you welcome me into the kingdom of God, devoid of the Spirit, and then I live this life of do's and don'ts. And Jesus didn't have to live a life of do's and don'ts, because he had the nature of God that wasn't going to allow him to do the do's and don'ts. He couldn't have sinned if he wanted to. And when that new birth experience comes in our life, then we have the battle. The difference in us is that we have a battle now. And it's supposed to be difficult. You're supposed to know that this cost somebody something. You were bought with a price. You're not your own. You're the temple of God. The Holy Spirit lives within you. You do not belong to yourself anymore. Now you belong to someone greater. You belong to Almighty God. And this is the message. It's the message of this from Genesis to Revelation. This is the message that he is buying us back through the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. And then we have a responsibility. And when that desire is not there, you have to begin to ask God why. And you better figure that out now, because when you stand before him and he says, "Depart from me, I never knew you," he's not going to say, "Well, you go sit over there and we'll talk about it later." See, we live in a world of second and third and fourth and fifth and sixth chances. Everybody wins the prize now. That doesn't work in the spiritual realm. Once you stand before him and that heart has stopped beating and he says, "Depart from me, I never knew you," that's eternal. That's eternal. His burden is light. Galatians 6, 1 through 8 says, "Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass," see, this is not about catching your brethren in trespasses. You got to watch this verse, because that's what we want to do, right? Is we want to catch everybody else in a trespass, right? We want our eyes on how everybody else is acting, right? Well, that's not what this passage of Scripture. He says, but if you do happen to catch your brother in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Okay, so why can we be gentle? Because we realize what we are. And we realize we are nothing without what God has done in our lives. See, it's about Him sacrificing for me. It's about Him instilling me with the gift of the Holy Spirit and sealing me with that. It's about Him correcting me. It's about me having a godly sorrow that leads to repentance. See, it's about all those things that have gotten me to this point where I could restore somebody in a gentle manner. Okay? But that one that needs to be restored has got to want to be restored. Okay? That's another side of the coin. That's a whole another sermon. But here's the whole point of this verse. Each one of you looking to yourself that you too will not be tempted. See, there's this thing that happens as you grow spiritually. I've been there. And all of a sudden, you look at what you're doing and the time that you're spending with God and all the good works that you're doing, then all of a sudden you begin to look at everybody else. Well, they're not doing as much as me. And I'm so much better off. And then you start picking out other people's problems. And you forget to keep looking at yourself. Because it says here, lest you'll be tempted and you'll be fallen away. And that's what God allows in religion a lot of times is people, they start looking at other people's sin. And I always start out every morning looking at my own. I always start with me. And I've always told you all, if you're not praying for yourselves, you're no good to anybody else. You have to look at yourself first so that you won't be tempted. We can't become arrogant in this relationship. But the fact when you have the true relationship, you're humbled. And then when someone is caught in a trespass, you can become very gentle in teaching them truth. But they will want truth too. Bear one another's burdens, thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Okay, so what this does is means that we all have the same burden. So when I'm looking at a person that's lost, the way I help him bear his burden is to be gentle and loving and kind with the Word of God. It doesn't do any good to beat someone over the head with a bunch of scriptures that they can't even understand. The natural man can't understand spiritual things. God has to reveal those things to him, and as he grows in maturity, then he begins to understand more. And the more you understand, the more you realize you don't know. It doesn't cause an arrogance, it causes a humbling in this thing. But we're to bear one another's burdens. We all have that same sin burden. We're all going to die and go to hell. We've all fallen short of God's glory. There's no one that seeks after God, no, not one. We have all sinned. We have a nature of wrath. We are an enemy of Christ. We are all of those things. So we have to bear one another's burdens. We have to share that with one another. That's what we are. But for if anyone thinks he is something, he is nothing. He deceives himself. Okay? We are nothing. We are just a vapor. In Revelation, they even tell God that, God, they wouldn't even exist if it wasn't for you. We're like grass that withers. We're here today and we're gone tomorrow. But unfortunately, that tomorrow is of eternity. But if you think you're something, and you're nothing, and this isn't that poor, pitiful me nothing, okay? It's not that, oh, well, darn, I ain't worth nothing. No, it's not that. It's in God's eyes that we, compared to His holiness, we are nothing. But each one must examine his own work, and then he has room for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. I spend more time in the Bible than Brian does, so man, I'm a lot better Christian than he is. Man, and boy, I can pick out some other folks out here that don't even do half of what I do spiritually. Man, I'm a much better person than they are. Man, look at me. I'm on this pedestal up here. You ain't up here preaching, are you, huh? God didn't bestow it on you. Man, look at me. I am reached the pinnacle of spirituality. He put me in the pulpit. Hogwash. Hogwash. If I kill 10 people, another person kills 100 people, am I less a murderer? Man, get our eyes on ourselves for a change. You want this church to change? Begin to put your eyes on your own self. Leave this building this morning and get this sermon out again and listen to it and ask God, where do I fit in? Huh? This sermon isn't about somebody else. It's about each and every one of us looking at ourselves. Promise you'll come back next Sunday different. But I don't know if I can get another hour. 30 minutes. Well, it's just 30 minutes, isn't it? Can I even get another 30 minutes? I don't know how we can... I don't know what else I can say and do to make this more important. We've got to look at ourselves so we don't deceive ourselves. Examine our own work. Boast on the fact that what God has done in our lives, not what we've done, but what He has done in our lives. For each one will bear his own load. The load is yours, and each one will bear it. What that means is I can't give you what I have. I can't give you the yoke that I have with Christ. Each one, we are born with a load. The load becomes a burden as you remain that child of the devil. You're either a child of the devil or you're a child of God. That's it. I mean, there's no difference according to Scripture. Okay, and that load becomes the burden as you go through life. And each one has to deal with his own load. Neat sermon.